For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to the final chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. We will consider this morning the confession of Joshua found at the end of verse 15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But let's take the time this morning to read the entire chapter. This is the word of God in Joshua 24. "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Then Joshua said unto all the people, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried out unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came into Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, in all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. So far we read the holy and inspired word of God. Call your attention to verse 15 of Joshua 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Our focus is especially on this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Probably the most well-known words that came out of the mouth of the Old Testament saint Joshua. Words in which Joshua expresses his firm resolve and determination that he personally and the house that he was the head of would serve the Lord. Those words are appropriate for the sacrament of baptism that we witnessed this morning. And these are very profound words that are found at the end of the book of Joshua. I'd like to conclude our series on the book of Joshua by looking at this confession of Joshua in this verse. But because there is so much that is wrapped up in these words of Joshua, what I'd like to do is preach 2 sermons on this main confession and the surrounding context in chapters 23 and 24. This morning, we look at the beginning of this material and this confession of Joshua. What I'd like to do next week, Sunday morning, is preach on chapter 22 and the altar of witness that we have not yet treated. And then next week, Sunday night, again for the sacrament of baptism, I'd like to look at again some more developments regarding this confession of Joshua. This morning we look at the confession itself and the reason for this confession of Joshua and the choice that Joshua made in his determination to serve Jehovah. Next week when we take up this material again, what we will do is look more practically at what it means for a home and the head of that home to guide that home in this way, that it is a home that serves the Lord. So this morning we look at the resolve of Joshua to serve the Lord, and we consider the following 3 points this morning: Joshua's confession, Joshua's choice, and Joshua's leadership. Joshua's resolve to serve the Lord, the confession of Joshua, the choice of Joshua, and the leadership of Joshua. Joshua 23 and chapter 24 record for us two speeches that Joshua gave at the end of his life. We do not know where the speech in chapter 3 took place, but we do know where this final one in chapter 24 took place. It took place, as we read in the beginning of the chapter, in the city of Shechem. Joshua gathered together all of the leaders in Israel together in Shechem, and he gives what is this final speech in his life to these leaders. We find Joshua here at the very end of his life. At this point, he is an old man. He knows from what he is experiencing with the breakdown of his own body and the age that he was at, that the end was coming very quickly for Joshua. God gave Joshua a good, long, productive life. We read at the end of chapter 24 that he died at the age of 110 years old. So at the very end of Joshua's life, he gathers together before him Israel, represented by the leaders of the 12 tribes, and he gives them this parting word. Joshua reveals in these last chapters his love and his concern for the people of God. At this time in Joshua's life, we know a few things. We know in the first place that for quite a while now, the land has been at rest. We read that at the beginning of chapter 23, the first verse. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old, stricken in age. It's been a while since the campaign against the northern and southern regions in Canaan that we considered in the beginning of our series. It's been probably around 25 years since God subdued the kings and the enemies in the land of Canaan. We know that because Caleb, and if we can guess that he was roughly the same age as Joshua, was 85 years old when the campaign against the enemies was concluded. Here we find that Joshua dies at the age of 110. So roughly 25 years have passed since God gave them the victory over those kings. What that means is that it's been a while since those men and those soldiers experienced the miraculous victories that God gave them in the land of Canaan. It also means, therefore, that there was soon going to be a passing of the generation that witnessed those events in their life, the entrance into Canaan and the victories, those great victories that we considered at the beginning of the chapter. It wasn't going to be very many years until that entire generation had passed. And then you consider on top of that the fact that there was still work to do. Yes, God gave them the victory. God subdued the enemies. But when Joshua sent all of those tribes into their particular inheritance, they had to go and they had to continue to fight. There were still cities, there were still Canaanites that they needed to drive out of the land. And even at the end of Joshua's life here, that still needs to be done. And you put that all together and you understand the perspective of Joshua. He's concerned about the future of God's people in Israel. He has seen, even likely, the effects that the failure to drive out the enemies right away is having upon the Israelites in Canaan. And so at the end of his life, he gathers the leaders together and he expounds upon God's work for them. And he calls them to continue to serve the Lord and to do that in the way of forsaking all of the idols in the land. In order to encourage them and in order to be an example to them, we have this confession of Joshua found in the middle of this end chapter. He stands before those leaders. He calls them to serve the Lord. And in order to encourage and be an example to them, he says to them very powerfully, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Beautiful confession that Joshua makes in this text. Notice a few things about this confession of Joshua. In the first place, take note of the fact that this is a public confession in which he makes a promise before God and the Israelites. This is a confession that we need to make privately. Every single one of us, every single day, and we'll get to that later in the sermon, needs to say in our own hearts, "As for me," and if we're a leader of a home, "in my home, we are going to serve the Lord." We need to do that in our own hearts and souls and minds. But the fact is, what we have here with Joshua's confession is a public confession. He stands before God, and he stands before all of those leaders of the tribes, and he says a promise before God and them, "This is what I am going to do. I will serve the Lord." That's what makes, in part, these words of Joshua appropriate at the occasion of baptism, as well as the content of the confession, which directly applies to a father's responsibility in the home. But in part, this is applicable because it is a public confession in which he makes a promise before God and before the church. And that's exactly what parents do when they bring their children for baptism. And the striking thing is that this confession of Joshua is very similar to the confession that Chad and Lori made this morning when they brought their daughter for baptism. It's not the exact same language. They didn't take on their lips, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But in answering those questions in an affirmative way, they said something strikingly similar. Their promise to raise their daughter in the fear of God, put a different way, is exactly what Joshua says in this passage. A promise that their home, and for all of us who have made this vow before, that your home is going to be a home in which the Lord is served. Because that's how you are faithful to the promise to raise your children in the fear of God's name. In the second place, take note of the fact that this confession of Joshua expresses what is his inner resolve of his heart. One's resolve is their firm determination to do something. Joshua, by saying these words, is expressing a firm determination to do something. And what that something is the most important thing that any person can do in this life. It is the firm determination to serve Jehovah. We understand what it is to have a resolve to do something. The problem is that too often it's not the resolve to do what is most important in this life. But we understand from our earthly goals and desires this idea of having a resolve firmly to accomplish something. To start a business, you're determined to make it successful. And in your determination to make it successful, you go to great lengths to do that. You work hard every day because that is your firm resolution. You can go downtown yesterday and observe the Fifth Third Riverbank run where thousands of people are trying to run 15 and a half miles. You see on display there a firm resolution to do something. They are going to get to that finish line no matter what it takes. They're going to put the time in prior to the race in order to make sure that they get to that finish line. And none of those things are wrong. I bring them up because it helps us understand what it means to have a firm resolution of our heart and how that outplays in our lives. Joshua here is expressing a firm resolution in his heart to do something. And what that is to serve the Lord. We don't know exactly how he said these words, because expressing that firm resolution can come forth in many different ways. It can be the loud, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But it can be just as passionate in the soft, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," or anywhere in between. It doesn't matter. We don't know how he said those words. But this we know, when he said those words and when the Israelites observed him saying these words, they knew this was the firm, strong conviction in his heart that this is what he was going to do. Notice in the third place the fact that this was his conviction of heart at an old age. Joshua is right at the end of his life here. We don't know how much after he says these words he actually died, but we do know that it is at the tail end of his life that he says these words. This is not the confession of a man who is very, very young, or the confession of somebody who has just been brought into the Christian faith and now he stands before now his new family of God and says, "This is my firm resolution to serve the Lord." That's not what's going on here. This is an old man. This is an old man who has spent his lifetime serving the Lord in this way. But yet, his conviction of heart was that he strove to be faithful to that confession to the very end. And so at the very end of his life, knowing that there isn't much more time in which he is going to be the head of his home, his wife and children and servants in his home, yet he wants to be faithful all the way to the very end. And so he gives this example to the Israelites. "This is what I am going to do, and my home is going to do. We are going to serve the Lord." And now notice in the fourth place the fact that the essence of what his firm conviction is that of serving Jehovah. That word "serve" in the text is a word that emphasizes laboring on behalf of another. It's the word that's used, for example, in the early chapters of Genesis to describe what Adam was called to do in the Garden of Eden. He was called to dress and keep it. He was called to labor in that Garden of Eden. And that was how he served God. Yes, he spent his times in the cool of the day fellowshipping with God, but he was called to serve God in everything he did, to labor on behalf of his king as the servant of God. And that's the language and the emphasis of Joshua's confession in this text. And this is what we will focus on more in the next sermon. But just take note of that right now, that it's the idea of laboring, actively laboring on behalf of his God to the glory of his name. Joshua had this as his firm conviction of heart because he understood who God was and what God had done for him and Israel. If you back up and you ask the question, why was this his firm conviction of heart? Of all of the things that he could say to these leaders standing before him, he wanted them to know that this was the most important thing in his life, that "I and my home are going to serve Jehovah." Why? The answer is he knew God, and he knew what God had done for him, his family, and his people. The most basic reason one makes this confession and desires to live according to it is that God is God. You don't need to go even beyond that in order to say the words of Joshua and to believe them and to have to follow them. If you simply recognize this fact that I am a creature and God is my creator, what flows from that is this: I and my home must serve Him. But there's so much more than just that. That's the most basic reason. There's so much more because Joshua, at the end of his life, had the opportunity to reflect very carefully on what God had done for him, his family, and Israel. And in reflecting and understanding those things, the only thing in response that Joshua could say and do is this: I and my home, we are going to serve Jehovah. And that's the beginning of Joshua chapter 24. What stands behind and what gives the reason for Joshua's confession is the first 13 verses of the chapter. And let's look at that carefully to see why this is Joshua's resolve. First of all, take note of the fact that this is Joshua's resolve when he understands the sovereign work of God on behalf of and for His people, Israel. When you read verses 2 through 13 of Joshua 24, this just jumps out at you, and you cannot help but see this so very clearly, that when God speaks to Joshua and Israel, the emphasis is this: I am God, and look at what I have done for you. Notice that. Verse 3, this is God. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Verse 4, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 7, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and I destroyed them from before you. Verse 10, and I would not hearken unto Balaam, so I delivered you out of his hands. And it continues for the next 5 verses. It's so clear. This is what God did for Israel. And beloved, when we think about everything that God has done for us, the resolve of our hearts must be the same. We will serve the Lord. But let's be more specific. Let's be more specific and see what God did for Israel. Verses 2 through 4 emphasizes God's work of election. Abraham and his family serving other gods, and we read that this is what Jehovah did for them. Verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And then verse 4 speaks of Jacob and Esau, the outstanding example of God's work of election according to Romans 9. When we think about God's work of electing us in Jesus Christ sovereignly, let this be our response: we will serve the Lord. And then you go to verses 5 and 6, which emphasize the work of God in delivering them from Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery in Egypt, but God delivered them out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. When we think about God's work to deliver us from the bondage and slavery of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, let this be our response: we will serve the Lord. Verse 7, when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them. Showing there that when we cry out to God, He is the God who always hears. when we think about, when we cry out to God and the God who hears in Jesus Christ, let this be our response. We will serve the Lord. Verses 9 and 10, the history of Balak and Balaam emphasizes God's work to perpetually bless us as a people. Remember that history. Balak the king hires Balaam the prophet to curse Israel. And all Balaam can do is bless Israel, teaching us thereby that for the people of God, us, the blessing of God always rests upon us. When we think about the fact that at all times in Jesus Christ, God blesses us as a people, let this be our response. We will serve the Lord. Verses 11 and 12, speaking of the victories that God gave the Israelites in the land of Canaan over the enemies, sovereignly working to drive them out and give them the victory. When we think about victory that we have, victory over our enemies of sin and Satan and the workers of darkness, victory over death and the grave, let this be our response. We will serve the Lord. And then when we remember that all of this is merely of God's grace, our response will be the same. And that's verse 13, the summary of it all. God gave them a land which they did not labor for, cities He gave them which they didn't build, vineyards and olive yards which they did not plant, are those from which they ate. Emphasizing the grace of God. And what is pictured there is the life and the beauty of that life that we have with God. And when we think about the gracious nature of God giving us that life with Himself and all of the blessings that come to us from that in Jesus Christ, this is our response. This must be our response. We will serve the Lord. I have to make a determination right now whether or not I want to attempt to explain the second point, which is the choice of Joshua. I think I'm going to not do that right now because of the significance of that material. I didn't anticipate being at this point at this time in the sermon, and I don't want to shortchange that because of how important it is that we understand that properly. Joshua makes a choice, and we are called to make a choice in serving God. And so I'm going to pass over that and take up that the next time we treat this material. And in conclusion, I'm going to go to the third point of the sermon, which is the leadership of Joshua. The leadership of Joshua is set forth in a couple of ways in this passage. The first way in which we see the leadership of Joshua is with respect to the nation as a whole. Joshua stands here as the leader of Israel. And as the leader of Israel, he calls them to fear and to serve God. But in doing that, he gives himself as a wonderful example. Joshua was faithful to the call of God issued to him many years ago, going all the way back to when they spied out the land. And now at the very end of his life, he still stands there as an older man that the people could look up to and follow the example of when he says this is his firm resolution that he would serve the Lord. This is a calling, therefore, for those who are leaders in the church. This is a responsibility for those who serve in the special offices in the church, elders and pastors and deacons. And that's why for Brother Van Overloop here, there's a twofold application as a leader with respect to this confession. Every office bearer must say these words, and not just say them, but truly live them. so that when the congregation looks up to the leaders, they are following their example of what it means as a child of God who understands the work of God's grace to serve Him in their homes. But the second aspect in which we see the leadership of Joshua in this passage is that with respect to his home. There is a covenantal truth revealed in this passage, and it is very clear. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knows his responsibility as the head of his home. And as the head of his home, he leads them spiritually. And he knows that the spiritual strength of his home is dependent upon his spiritual strength. The spiritual strength of the home is only going to go so far as his leadership as the head of that home. He stood there not just as the leader of a nation, but he stood there as a leader of a home with a wife, with children, and at that time with the servants that would have been in his home. And he says, as the leader of this home, this is what this home is going to be characterized by. It's not going to be a home that serves the world, not going to be a home that serves our sinful desires and lusts. It's going to be a home in every respect that serves Jehovah. And as the head of that home, I'm going to take the lead. I'm going to guide. I'm going to direct. I'm going to do that for the sake of my family. Every father here needs to understand that. That when you act as a father, you're not acting as an individual. What you say as a father, what you do as a father, what you don't do as a father, has a direct impact upon your wife and your children, more generally, your home. So that if you as a father are not giving your life to being a strong spiritual leader in your home, that will have an impact upon those who are underneath you in your family. We need to see the leadership that Joshua displays here, understanding even at the very end of his life that this was his calling. And he was faithful to this calling. People of God, individually, we make this confession of Joshua. We make our firm resolution in our heart, understanding the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve Jehovah. Especially you who are leaders in the church and in your home, understanding the greater impact of that, make this same confession of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll take up the subject of this being the choice that Joshua made. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll take up the practical ways in which we do just that. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word of truth. And we thank Thee that we can follow the example of Joshua, who was convicted of his desire to serve Jehovah. And we pray, Father, that this may be our confession as well. And we pray that we might be faithful to it. Bless Thy word as it was brought this morning. And we pray that, especially for Chad and Lori, this truth may resound in their hearts and may have fruit in their lives. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.